This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Primetime's Thrones Recap Podcast with Andrew Nemec and Mike Lynch. Every week after each Game of Thrones episode, we'll give you a deep dive into the action in Westeros and beyond and predictions on what's to come. Thanks for listening. He's already been selected to be in the Game of Thrones spinoff of The Bachelorette, featuring Sansa Stark and her quest to find true love in the North. And now he's here to talk Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 6, The Iron Throne, the series finale. It's Mike Lynch.
You know what, Andrew? It's going to be really hard to break through that rough shell that Sansa has up. I don't know why she has that shell up. I'm really going to have to find out what she has in her past that's going to make me connect with her on a romantic level.
Man, and also just because of her experiences in the bedroom, what does she think normal is? Because it's like...
We're going to find that out, aren't we?
She's going to be on The Bachelorette and wanting to have sex and get out some whips and knives and hammers. And you're like, wait a minute. And she's like, foreplay. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Ramsay Bolton.
Right. Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
Joffrey crossbows. Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to do a full recap of the episode. If you're listening to this and you've listened to this for the whole season, you are fully aware of what happened. And even if you didn't see it, you're probably aware of what happened because it was all over social media. What did you think of the episode? We've had complaints all along about pacing. We've had complaints all along about characters not being true to themselves and the way that we've gotten to know them and learned about them. What did you think of the series finale?
I thought that if we had gotten more character development in these last two seasons, I would have been very satisfied last night or on Sunday night. And I'm not, because we didn't get that character development. I think it was the most basic of possible endings. The most predicted ruler at the end of the show from the beginning of the season was Bran, and he is the ruler at the end of the show. The most predicted shock kill was Jon of Daenerys. And Jon kills Daenerys. Sansa splits off the North. Okay. Tyrion stays important in the government. Okay. And basically anything that was major that happened was very basic. And some of the other stuff that happened that wasn't as major but very important was kind of dumb. Arya just sailing off west, to me, I didn't like that. She changed really quickly in two episodes from being a cold-blooded killer with no heart to all of a sudden having a heart, but not going to kill Daenerys and letting Jon do it, and then also letting other people get away with stuff.
But wait a minute.
Wait.
What? She turned because the Hound said, be good.
Right. I'm sorry.
So you forgot that.
Again, if we had more character development, that would have hit me harder.
Right.
Versus me just being a little bit confused. So, I mean, it wasn't the worst ending in the world. It wasn't the worst finale I've ever seen of a series. We know it's hard to end shows like this, but it just, as we've talked about on this podcast before, and there's that great Twitter thread I think we even brought up in a podcast or two ago, these aren't the characters we grew to love that are finishing this show. It's their substitutes. And I didn't care. When Jon killed Daenerys, I didn't care. There was zero emotion when it happened. I went, oh, okay. And like that's just how it was. I just didn't care anymore because the characters had no heart or substance, and that's what kind of sucked about it. So it was a solid finale. The last two episodes were better than the first four episodes, but I just stopped caring, and I think that's the biggest crime that happened in this season.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, and that's something that I've talked to people about. We had watch parties at our house, and I am of the group the only book reader. And so for a long time, like, the Red Wedding was something that I was like, kind of like snarky, sneaky while they're watching. And then I was like, oh, as they freak out. And I'm like, yeah. So we've had the same basic group for a long time. And that, you know, it was like going into it, I'm always nervous and anxious and whatever, because I'm excited for what's going to happen. And somebody said, you don't seem nervous or anything. And I said, I honestly don't care. Like, if somebody were to call me right now from the East Coast and be like, this is what happens, I'd be like, man, I kind of wish I could have watched it on my own, but okay. You know, I was just watching for the plot points, for the beats. I want to know what happens in case George R. R. Martin dies and I don't get to read it in book form. But you're right. The biggest crime of this show is I was extremely passionate about this season, really fired up, really excited. I was on Isaac and Sook and they were making fun of me because I was such a nerd about how excited I was. And by the last two episodes, I honestly didn't care. It was just like, eh, I want to know what happens, but whatever happens, I'm kind of fine with it. If a dragon came and burned everyone and every single person dies and then the dragon just flies off, I'd be like, okay, whatever. I mean, I was done.
We've reached a point of apathy, which is the worst thing you can get to in a TV show like this. And that sucks. It really does suck. But this episode had flaws like all of the episodes in the season did. Things that just didn't make a lot of sense or that were rushed, which has been the main focus of this. One of the weirdest things to me in this episode was all of a sudden it became a comedy. Like it was funny. Like it actually was. I laughed out loud multiple times. And then I sat there and went, why am I laughing out loud?
In the series finale
yeah. of one of the most serious, gruesome shows we've had that has had maybe some dry humor here and there, but nothing that's been hysterically funny. But the whole Sam asking for a democracy and everyone laughing him down, like that was funny. I did laugh, but it felt out of place. And then the final scene with the closed council with Tyrion and Bronn and Sam and who was the other guy who was there? I can't even remember.
Man number two.
Right. That's in the other one.
No,
but
I forget
who the other guy was who was there, but it was Davos. And
yeah. He's the master of ships and ports.
They were making jokes and stuff, and it was like I almost expected like Seinfeld music to start playing at the end.
I know.
Like ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do.
There's a reason for that. We know, and I went online and I always try to like figure out, you know, why things are the way they are. They're making another show, and Naomi Watts is going to be the leader of it, and it takes place
in the transition from
the Age of Heroes to another dark period. So I don't know if we're getting more White Walkers, like the first or second, I don't know, who knows in history because it's all cyclical. If we're getting another fall from summer to winter and White Walkers coming, but the tone of the show is supposed to be kind of a dark, dry humor. It's supposed to kind of be funny with bits of action as well.
The new one is?
Right. So I think we're going to get some of what we saw in the last 10 minutes in the next show. That's the only thing I can think of is they're kind of prepping us for what's to come. Because otherwise it felt a little out of place.
Yeah, it was weird. And that's not to say it wasn't funny. Like, it was.
No, it was funny.
I laughed at every joke hysterically. But it just... And I just didn't like that I was laughing because it felt like a really high gravity situation. You have to pick a king. And now this is the new close council and Bran doesn't seem to really care about ruling. So Tyrion seems like he's going to be the ruler as the hand of the king. And it's just everything has, as we've been talking about for weeks, it's been rushed and everything that we were waiting for didn't hit as hard. Although I will say we've talked about this. They know what the ending is. They knew. And they did nail it. Like the way that it ended was, I think, what we expected them to do, and they did it well. It just the parts to get there made it less interesting.
And I think this is a key point. If you liked the last season and thought the last season was good, and you just didn't like this season, then you just didn't really like the ending. If you had a problem with the way the storytelling was told, the rushed pace of things, the way characters kind of stepped outside themselves to make decisions, if you didn't like that, then there's a good chance you didn't like the last two seasons. Because we talked about that on the very first...
Even into season six a little bit,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
we talked about that on the very first episode of this show, that last season was problematic because of pacing and because of a lack of sticking with the trueness of the characters. And unfortunately, that really, really bled into this season and even worse so, to the point that this season was fairly, the characters in some cases were relatively unrecognizable from what we grew to see them as. I just thought it was a really poor, tough way to end it. And just like last season, the last episode hit a lot of the beats and I went, oh, okay. And it's almost like they worked backwards and went, okay, what do we do to get here? Like they shot it and then they were like, I know that's not how they did it, but it's almost as if they shot the finale and went, okay, let's find a way to make this happen because we know this is it. And in a writing room, I think they did. I mean, I think that is what happened. They were told the beats, they were told the ending, and they had to fill in. And in a lot of cases, they didn't know how to do it. And not only did they not know how to do it, when they finally did make the puzzle pieces fit, they were really cramming them in there and maybe shaving off some edges to get it to work.
Yeah, I'll say I'm unsatisfied is probably the right word. I'm not angry anymore because, well, it's been 6 episodes of this and I get it.
But how sad is that that's how quick the turn is?
I mean,
you really liked the show, so did I. And when Lost ended, people were furious, and Lost sucked, and Lost is a way worse ending than this. I mean, it made no sense. This at least made sense. It was just kind of the Disneyification of this show. How sad is it that, you know, I think we're two of the more passionate fans. We volunteered to do this podcast because we were so excited about the last season, and at the end, both of us were like, eh.
Right.
And that's really sad.
What it did, and this is probably good for George R. R. Martin, unless he can't finish the books, is it made me way more excited to read books 6 and 7.
Me too.
Because I need to see what he's doing. And it's funny, I actually brought the 4th and 5th books with me today just as a little reference point, if we can scroll through them in the podcast or while we're doing the podcast. Because there's so many characters that are in these books that didn't even sniff the show, not even mentioned. There's people who are in different places. They're doing different things. And it's going to be interesting to kind of jump back into the book world where things are vastly different and try to get back into that and remember it, because we've watched this entire show in the gap between book 5 and 6. I think this show started after book 5 came out. So we are, the whole world that we have been watching for 8 years or 9 years is now not completely different, but it is very different from the books.
And I do want to get there, but I also want to get to some of the funnier memes and in moments in the show. One of them being, and it was just an internet thing, was the dragon burning the Iron Throne instead of Jon. And there's a meme that is 2 different versions of the dragon. And one is, I must burn, it's his thinking, I must burn the Iron Throne. It is what drove my mother mad. She wanted to break the wheel. By melting this, I will break the wheel. And in her death, she will be victorious with her ultimate mission of resetting this world and creating a better world. And then the other one is, Mom died by pointy thing. Throne is pointy. Throne killed Mom. And it's so true. It's one of the two.
It just isn't. That was a weird thing. Like, why is he burning the throne? I know Jon's a Targaryen, but I mean, he clearly just killed your mom. So
I thought the War Council was interesting. I was confused, and you watched it with subtitles, and because of that, had a really funny takeaway that is what bothered me, is there were some people, these are all the leaders of their respective kingdoms.
Yeah.
It is weird that we don't know who some of them were.
Well, I didn't recognize that Robin Aaron was older, by the way. So that
really?
Yeah, that was my fault.
Well,
originally,
he didn't have a boob in his mouth.
Right, true. So I didn't recognize that, but the subtitles said, it was like, Bran, da-da-da-da-da, Sansa, da-da-da-da-da, and then they cut away, and it was like, man one. I, man two, I, Davos Seaworth, I, man three, I. And I'm like, who are you people?
Man one, man two, and man three might be the characters from the books that are not included. I mean,
maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, they may end up being, I mean, I know they weren't cast that way, but it may be that, you know, George R. R. Martin said there's a council of 18 people because the books are sprawling and there are leaders and are characters in the books that are clearly not being introduced in the show.
Yeah.
Maybe man one, man two, and man three are going to be characters that we follow pretty closely in the books that are not involved in the show.
It's possible, but I think they just needed to fill it with people. And that's what we got, was man one, two, three, and four.
Sam's pitch of democracy, hilarious.
I thought for a second we were actually going to get that. I was like, wait, oh.
I laughed and was like, we can't end with democracy. That is so ridiculous if that's where this actually ends. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with democracy. It'd just be a ridiculous way for Game of Thrones. It's like, let's let the people vote. And then that's the end of the episode. It's like,
right.
How did we get here?
That doesn't make any sense.
One of the things that bugged me about the show, and I think it is the ultimate, like, wait a minute, what? So Jon kills Daenerys And the dragon burns the Iron Throne, picks her up, flies away. Fine.
I guess.
Whatever. That leaves all of the people who are around the cat, like the people who would discover John, are all Unsullied and maybe the Onion Knight. It's possible. Those are the possible people that could discover what happened. You know, someone ran into the throne room after the dragon screeched like that and flew away. They were just, we just saw them murderous, killing soldiers, and before that, the episode before that, killing kids, killing women. They would have just killed John.
Yep.
Instead, somehow, again, off the show, they went, okay, we're going to make you the prisoner, and how do we resolve this? Oh, let's call a war council of all the families we've just defeated and have a vote. Where would they even know to contact these people?
They're not
even from this country.
No. Well, they're from the country. They're just not from King's Landing.
No. The Unsullied aren't even from Westeros.
Oh, right. Sorry.
They're not even part of this continent.
I know.
So for them to fly in, defeat the continent, and then be like, hey, let's call the heads of the families of all the different regions.
We know how to do that,
and
right?
Hold a vote. Also,
Grey Worm is so mad at Tyrion and Jon, yet he lets Tyrion completely control the conversation and change everything for the world. And then they say, well, but Grey Worm's mad, so we're going to send Jon to the wall. And then Grey Worm leaves. So Jon doesn't even have to go to the wall. He's going to a different country.
And it wasn't like they weren't willing to trick him, because clearly what you get when you get to the wall, there isn't a group there.
A Night's Watch.
There isn't a Night's Watch anymore. Yeah. He just goes with the wildlings up north. So it's not like they were opposed to tricking Grey Worm in the discussion, because they did, and he goes north and isn't part of the Night's Watch anymore. So why not just say, we'll send him, bye, and he gets on a ship, and Grey Worm takes off, and that ship loops right back around, and it's like, hey, King John. I mean, they could have easily. He doesn't know.
And I know that John did want to go north of the wall, so I think maybe that was their way of saying he got what he wanted, but then why not have that be the conversation where, instead of the stupid prisoner thing, which is really stupid to me, have him go, look, I don't want to be king. My place is north of the wall. That's where I feel most at home. And they say, look, you've done so much for us as a family. Okay,
you can never come back. You're exiled, but never come back. But
I mean, sure. But
you don't like that either.
Well, I mean, he killed the freaking Mad Queen.
Yeah, that's true.
Jamie Lannister has been running around after killing the Mad King, being the top knight in the country. So I don't know. It's just, it got John where he needed to be. It just felt wrong to me. Yeah.
You'd mentioned the books and how different they are, we first fell in love with this series as book readers, both of us. I mean, we both read the books, and that's where home is for us in this series. So I wanted to quickly...
Okay, just quickly, just so people know, the last two books, 4 and 5, were all the same timeline, just different characters, because he didn't want to make a gigantic book. They're 2,000 pages total. 976 and 1,050, so give or take 2,000 pages total of all the characters we love that we just read before the ending of
it. The two books happen concurrently,
yes,
but because there are so many different, and he does it by point of view, so you get into the heads of the characters, there are so many characters that he split them up basically by where they are or their family connection, and there's a book that kind of covers... And this is way oversimplified, but it makes it easy. There's a book that covers the Starks and the Lannisters. And then there's another book that covers the Targaryens, the Ironborn. And that's not even how it splits, but it gives you an idea so you understand how it works. That he took half his characters, put them in one book, because it's too hard to follow 26 different points of view in one book. So where we finished with these books. This is where the characters were when we finished with the books, as we knew them when we first said, oh, cool, this series is coming out. This will be fun. Jon is dead.
He was killed by the Night's Watch.
Daenerys is being held captive by the Khals.
Is this after she left Meereen?
Yeah.
So this is when she flew away on the dragon and the Khals find her? Okay.
Sansa is 13 years old and currently the mother figure for Robin Arryn.
Yep.
Arya is blind. She was training to be an assassin, but she killed somebody she shouldn't, so she is just blind and still semi-being trained, but definitely in the doghouse.
Yep.
Bran has met Cold Hands, and is learning from the three-eyed raven how to be a seer, but he is not officially the three-eyed raven yet.
Right, he's in the place with the tree, and Cold Hands was really important in the books, or at least we feel like he's more important. In the show, it was like, hey, I'm here, by the way, I'm Benjen, okay, bye.
Right. Jaime was given a letter from Cersei, he received a letter from Cersei who was being held captive at the time that she sent the letter, saying, I'm being held by, oh gosh, what is that
guy's name? The Septons. The High Septon.
The High Sparrow. There we go. The High Sparrow has put me in prison. Come help me. Jaime burns the letter. We then get a fast forward in another book much later, and Brienne is pleading to Jaime to help her save the Stark girls. So Jaime's kind of in two different places. He's in one place with Cersei that he burns the letter. He doesn't want to help Cersei. And then again, in the scene that seems very disconnected in time, Brienne runs up to him and kind of says, meets him somewhere and says, we need to save the Stark girls. Cersei has done her walk of shame. She is not allowed to rule. She is in the Red Keep in isolation. And leading King's Landing right now in her place is actually Pycelle and Kevin Lannister. But Varys, using his little birds, has just assassinated both Pycelle and Kevin Lannister. So there is upheaval in terms of who is the adult leading things in King's Landing.
I forgot about that. Okay. Because Kevin Lannister doesn't get killed in the show, right? That's the guy from... He's the general from Casterly Rock.
Right, and I'm trying to remember if he doesn't die when the Sept blows up, if he's there.
He probably is.
I think they yada yada, but he might be there waiting for the trial. I'm not sure. So Catelyn Stark has her throat slit in the Red Wedding in the show. That also happens in the book.
Yep.
In the book, however, she comes back to life similar to Cold Hands. She's like a zombie, but she's not a bad guy. I mean, she's not a bad guy in the, you know, she's not a White Walker. And her whole premise is like she's similar to a White Walker in this way, in that she is hell-bent on getting revenge for everyone who is part of the Red Wedding. That's her ultimate goal. Yep. She's kind of like Arya, an assassin, in the sense that she has this one mission to kill these people on her list. Her list is everyone that's been involved in the Red Wedding, and she has an army that actually goes with her places. It's a small army, but it's an army. She has just run into Brienne, and because Brienne, if you remember, has Jaime's sword, she thinks she's turned the Lannisters, and she is hanging, when the book ends, she is hanging Brienne as a traitor.
And her name is Lady Stoneheart. Yeah.
So where is Brienne? Well, Brienne is being hung. And we think she's going to die right before she passes out. She screams a word, and the book, her chapter ends. So you get the sense that she lives. In the fifth book, we get kind of a fast forward.
Right, because Brienne is in book four. That is where most of her chapters are, is in book four.
We get a scene of her after she's supposed to have been hung. We know this based on Wikipedia. running into Jaime saying, I need help to defend the Stark girl. So we know that she was either cut down or she survives that hang.
Or, question, because they're in concurrent timelines... Is it before that all happens when she runs into Jaime?
It says on, again, I just used Wikipedia. It says that we are supposed to believe that it is after.
Okay.
That she has survived the hanging. But we don't know why yet. And we think she linked up to Lady Stoneheart, who's working with the Brothers Without Banners or whatever.
Right. Beric Dondarrion. Yeah.
Tyrion... And this is where we'll end it as far as following all the characters. There are more characters, obviously, but this is where we will end it. Tyrion is traveling to Dany with, and this is like total mind blow, with her nephew, Aegon Targaryen. Varys in the books, now we've talked about this, that the Mountain, I believe, killed when the Mad King was being killed and all that, and then there was all that upheaval. There was a baby, and the Mountain smashed his brains against the wall. Varys in the books has substituted that baby, which was the Targaryen baby, for a commoner, and whisked away or shied away or took away the real baby. And the real baby is a Targaryen who has... he's in Jon's spot, I guess, in terms of in line. So he also has a better claim to the throne than Dany.
And at this point in the book, we don't know Jon is Targaryen.
And at this point in the books, we don't know Jon is a Targaryen.
And that actually might not even come to pass if we've got this other character.
So there are two people in Jon's spot. Again, we don't even know Jon is a Targaryen, but Jon is the son of, oh gosh, what's his name? Rhaegar.
Yeah.
He has another son. So there are two sons of Rhaegal, and one of them we know is a Targaryen, and his name is Aegon Targaryen, and he wants the Iron Throne.
And he goes by Griff, right?
And he goes by Young Griff.
In the books, yeah.
Anyway, so Tyrion is traveling with a Targaryen who has a better claim to the throne than Dany, who is not in the show at all. He is captured. He's trying to get to Dany. He links up with the second sons.
And Jorah is, he does get captured by Jorah.
Yes. But then Jorah and Tyrion are captured.
Yes. Which did happen in the show.
Which happened in the show. But their way out is not as slaves. They get out by actually joining the Second Sons as fighters.
Hmm.
And Tyrion says, I'm not a good fighter, but I can kind of tell you, I can give you battle strategy. And also, because they're like, who cares? We don't want your battle strategy. You guys can split up all the Lannister gold or all the Lannister claim, because Jaime has given it up because of his pledge. And who's the other one that? Oh, and Tywin is dead. So he thinks if I beat my sister, you guys can have all the Lannister gold.
Right.
That's where we are. And weirdly, just because it's kind of fun, Theon is actually being held captive by the Baratheon king.
Tommen?
No. The Baratheon... Oh my gosh, really? The one that had the Red Priest lady.
Oh, Stannis.
Stannis.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a prisoner of Stannis, and it's a long story. All the jumping off a wall and all that stuff that happens in the show with Sansa... Littlefinger, as a trick, replaces Sansa at one point with a lookalike. So her name is Jen Poole. So all that stuff that happens with Sansa and Theon actually happens with her substitute, Jen Poole. That's where we are in the books.
Yeah. So
if it sounds convoluted, I wanted it to sound convoluted to some extent. It's hard to follow. The books are much harder to follow than the show. They had to do a lot of trimming to get it to
make
a lot of
sense.
And I
think here's the thing. They're hard to follow, but not if you're reading them, they're not that hard to follow. You're in it. You're in the world. You know the characters. There's just a lot of characters and a lot of jumping off points. I will say this, and I will suggest this 100%. If you enjoy reading... I know that a lot of people who watch this show are not necessarily readers of the genre, and that's okay. But if you enjoy reading and you enjoy the fantasy genre at all, and you watch the show but have not read the books, I could not suggest reading the books more. Especially if you're disappointed in the ending and want to see what George R.R. Martin does, you don't want to jump into the books in book six, because you're going to be wildly confused. And
yeah, you'll have no idea.
Because there's more characters doing other things. There's another Greyjoy who is trying to go to Daenerys. His name is Victarion. He was also in the King's Moot. He didn't even exist in the show. It was Euron versus Yara, who, by the way, her name is Asha in the book. And so it was Euron, Asha, and Victarion who were trying to become the King of the Iron Islands. And now there's a race to get to Daenerys with fleets to see who can join up forces with her. So there's just a ton of stuff going on there's more going on in Dorne. Dorne kind of was ignored in the show, minus like a little bit of that one season.
The Sand Snakes are hot. And they serve to be hot in the show, and they're for looking at. They're prominent players in the books at one point. They become a major, major, major player, and that's not even in the show.
So I would suggest starting from the beginning and just diving into the series if you're interested in that kind of stuff, because the first three books are fantastic. Books four and five are a little bit harder to get through because, as Martin said himself, and we've probably talked about on this podcast, he had so many tentacles that he was trying to rein in, but he also doesn't want to do a disservice to the character development, so he doesn't just cut things here and there. He has to naturally close those ends. So it gets a little bit wandering a little bit in books four and five, but it's just better. It's just better than the show ended. So if that's your cup of tea and you like fantasy and reading, then you should read the books.
And what's scary for me is I am so, and I think you as well, we are so accustomed to seeing these characters through the lens of the show that I can't jump back in if book six comes out and go, oh yeah, I know what's going on. I have to reread or at least Wikipedia every character. And by the way, in terms of points of view, different characters who we follow through their eyes, I believe there are almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to follow. Well, so I'm going to have to go back and reread. So I borrowed your book one, and yeah. I'm going to try to go back and reread.
In book five, there's a bunch of... So the point of view chapter names are called the name of the character, so it'll be like Cersei, and that whole chapter's from her point of view. There are chapter names in book five that are like The Sacrifice, The Kingbreaker, The Spurned Suitor, and you're like, who are you people? Why are you naming them this? And like some of them are obvious, like one of them is Victarion, and he's the Iron Suitor, and then there's the Spurned Suitor is...
The Spurned Knight,
The
right?
Spurned Knight is Barristan Selmy, who is the King's Guard who goes and helps Daenerys.
And he dies fighting with Grey Worm in an alley.
I don't know who the sacrifice is. That might be Stannis' daughter. It might be.
It's either that, or it could be... What's the Baratheon name? He gets Storm's End.
Oh, Gendry?
It could be Gendry, because he was supposed to be sacrificed at one point. He thinks he's going to be sacrificed for King's Blood.
Right.
Could be him.
And then the other thing too is you'll be frustrated in book four if you read it. Tyrion, Jon, and Daenerys are all in book five, who I think for most book readers, those are the most interesting point of view chapter people. They do not exist in book four. So you're reading book four, you're like, where is Tyrion? He's one of the most interesting POV chapter guys, just like he was the most interesting character in the show for a while. It's all in book five. So, you know. Just so you understand.
Final thoughts. In general, if you'd have told me after watching episode one or season one or reading the first book that this is going to be Team Stark at the end and Bran is king and Jon is a hero, a war hero, and he goes north, he gets to be where he wants to be. Arya is the ultimate assassin. She goes west to discover the new world and Sansa's queen. I'd have been so disappointed. Because the whole beginning of the show, what made it cool is that anything could happen and that just because you like a family doesn't mean they're going to win. They're not all going to win. And all the Starks won. It was a Team Stark Disney show at the end. And that bugs the heck out of me.
Yeah, it does me too. And the show did an amazing job following the books. Yes, obviously it trimmed characters. It would have been impossible to make a show. Well, maybe not impossible, but it would have been a really long show if they had included everything in the books in terms of amount of seasons. Excuse me, but they did a good job of proving to you in the first three or four seasons that nobody is safe. People can die left and right. The Red Wedding was, well, Ned Stark was exhibit A of that. You're like, oh my God, the main character in season one dies in season one. The Red Wedding is completely shocking for people, and it was done very, very well. But as you keep going, you start losing some of that shock value. And I don't mind that in the sense of you don't want to become a show about who's going to die next, and it's like, that's it. All you care about is deaths. But you want to be a show and a book series that just leaves you off balance. And I think one of the best things about good fantasy series and epic fantasy series in books is when you have no idea who to trust. That is the most enjoyable thing to read because you're always kind of, as you're reading, trying to figure out what intentions are what and whose intentions are what. And I think that, to me, is one of the most enjoyable things about this book series. And where we are in the book series, you still have that. That feeling has not gone away. You do not know who to trust. You don't. And that makes it more interesting to read.
I think that's a good place to leave
it. In the show, we did know who to trust at the end, and that kind of sucked.
Thanks, man. This was fun.
It was.
I had a good time doing this. I wish the last season was more enjoyable. That being said, I'm glad we went on the journey together. Now it's time to read the books. Let's get after it.
Look, you can read book one. I've got so many series I'm in the middle of
that
I'm not really comfortable tackling Game of Thrones again. But I'm probably going to do the Wikipedia / there's sites out there that do rereads with really detailed stuff. I might kind of skim those before book six comes out, or if ever comes out, to kind of get a gauge of where I'm going again. And I'm going to throw this out there. If you like fantasy books and you like epic fantasy series that are long and have a ton of characters, I cannot recommend the Malazan series enough. If you have not read the Malazan series, if you have not attempted it, it is a challenging read. It is one of the most rewarding series I've read. I'm only through book five. There's 10 of them. Plus there's auxiliary books too, from a different author. It is absolutely incredible, and you need to try to read it if you have not heard of it before.
There it is. Thank you very
Stephen Erickson, the author.
Okay, there it is. Find it at Barnes & Noble and
Powell's Books.
Oh, there you go.
Support your local bookstore.
All right, thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.